Mary's Game by Andy Hamilton, starring Annette Crosby as Edith, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, and Andy Hamilton as Satan.
Oh, God, but do you mind if I hide out in here with you, Edith? I mean, it's hell out there. Yeah, see, thanks to an air traffic controller who was apparently distracted by a music video that involved lots of young women rubbing their lumpy bits up and down against a rap singer, then what happened was, whatever happened to feminism, eh? Do you remember that? Yeah, just one of those passing fads, I suppose. Like Power Rangers. Anyway, because this idiot got distracted, there was a crash, and over 400 British Airways passengers have just arrived in hell, and they are particularly angry.
Is that?
Well, because their luggage has gone to heaven. At least, we think so. I mean, the computer's gone down, so... You're not listening to a word I'm saying, are you?
Couldn't agree more. It's terrible.
Edith!
What?
I'm talking here. You have to listen to what I'm saying.
Must I? It's just more of the usual, isn't it?
The usual?
Yes, you know. Lots of righteous indignation topped off with a big dollop of self-pity.
I can't believe this. I'm the Prince of Darkness. I mean, why'd I let you talk to me this way?
Because you know I'm right.
Ah, but you're not right about everything, are you, eh? Initially, you thought that all this, me, all of it, was just some weird illusion. Do you remember?
Yeah, which is still a definite possibility that I'm imagining this whole narrative.
What, including the bit where you were murdered by Rosemary?
You haven't proved it was her. There's no motive. Why would my best friend murder me?
Do you know what, Edith? I'm not sure she was your best friend. Best friends tend not to murder you, as a rule, then. That's just not a very supportive thing to do.
I do so hope I'm just imagining you. Perhaps I'm in a coma, like that chap in Life on Mars.
Life on Mars?
It's a TV programme about a man who woke up and suddenly found himself living in the 1970s.
Why, did he move to Swansea?
Perhaps I'm really in a hospital somewhere, in a coma, being patronised by a consultant in a bow tie.
Well, if you're right, that means you're imagining me, Scumspawn and Thomas, which makes you a very sick person. Actually, where is Thomas?
Scumspawn took him off for a bit of a walk.
Right, a demon taking one of the damned for a bit of a walk. You know, sometimes I think Scumspawn's under the impression that hell is run by the National Trust. Yeah, he'll be serving bloody cream teas next. So what is it you're working on then? It's my biography, presumably.
Yes. I found this really interesting section in the Old Testament.
There is nothing interesting in the Old Testament. I can sum it up for you in one sentence. Israelites obey God, God helps them smash everybody's faces in. Israelites disobey God, God smashes their faces in. I mean, it's the same plot just over and over again. It's like a Hebrew version of Scooby-Doo.
No, this bit's very different. Listen, it's Genesis, chapter 6. The giants were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God went unto the daughters of humans who bore children to them. What do you think that means?
Well, what do you think it means?
Well, it suggests that, well, angels, the sons of God, had children by mortal women. Presumably that's just more biblical nonsense, is it, you know? Like the story of David and Goliath. Only you took me to meet Goliath, and he was no taller than the short one and the crankies. So, presumably this stuff about angels impregnating women was just rubbish.
Well, actually...
You're kidding.
No, it's a big scandal. Yeah, you see, God sent a few angels down to Earth to patrol the world of man and generally keep an eye on the old righteousness quotient. But these angels, well, some of them, got less angelic. You know, they strayed.
How badly did they stray?
Well, let's just say they behaved like footballers at a training camp in Marbella. Oh, yes, all very embarrassing. The Almighty was extremely angry, yeah? Angels aren't supposed to have gangbangs.
So what happened?
Well, God instigated a massive cover-up, or to use the correct term, a flood. Yeah, he just decided to drown all the evidence and start again, you know, with just two of everything.
We're talking about the great flood here, aren't we? Noah and the Ark.
Yeah, what a farce that was. Yeah, it took Noah 5 weeks to work out that those two lions had eaten all the dinosaurs. Also, the flood didn't work. Loads of people survived because, funnily enough, Noah wasn't the only human being in possession of a boat.
So you're saying there are people walking around today who are the descendants of angels?
Yeah, you can spot them a mile off.
Really? How?
Well, they've got one defining characteristic.
Shall we sit here for a bit, Thomas? I especially like this view. Breathtaking, isn't it?
It's an abyss.
It's my favourite abyss. That's why I put this little bench here.
It's a black void of terrifying nothingness.
I know. So relaxing, isn't it? If you stare into it, you can see little faces.
Scumsport, do you mind shifting along the bench a bit? And you're dripping slime all over me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Thomas. I leave a coating of slime on everything, I'm afraid. Some demons just separate more than others. Sometimes the slime cascades so thickly off my forehead that it's like looking through a waterfall.
Well, we all have some physical defect we have to put up with, don't we? You're better off than that demon with the rampant ingrowing toenail.
Oh, good Lord, yes. It's growing out the top of his head now.
I know, I've seen it.
Well, he's very self-conscious about it. For a while, he tried to pass it off as a rather daring hat. He soon realised he wasn't fooling anybody. Well, this is nice, isn't it? Just sitting here, me and you.
Yeah. Can we go now? Only I'm starting to see faces in the blackness, and they've all got huge teeth.
Well, no, hold on a sec. I just want to have a little chat. You see, Thomas, I think you are at the start of a wonderful transformation.
Am I?
Oh, yes. In the same way that a grubby little caterpillar turns into a stunning, delicate butterfly.
I hate butterflies. The way they flutter around you like they're so much better than you. Well, they're not so smug when you bash them with a hammer.
Let's forget the butterflies. The point is, when you rescued me from that recent hostage situation...
When Jane Austen was holding you at knife point?
Yes?
God, that was scary. Somehow, I never pictured Jane Austen with a scorpion tattoo on each arm.
Well, when you rescued me from her, out of friendship, well, you did a good thing, Thomas. Your first good thing, in fact. Now is the time to build on that.
She had the word hate on her forehead as well.
The human beings who are descended from angels are ginger?
Yeah.
Them?
Yep, every single carrot top has some distant female ancestor who had a fling with one of Jehovah's heart monkeys.
Yeah. Good grief. So, were the angels ginger then?
Only the junior ones were ginger, yeah. I was the most senior level of angel. My hair was golden. Golden like summer corn and soft as gossamer. Silky soft
All
like...
All right, there's no need to do the whole shampoo ad. So... Ginger people presumably still have some angel genes.
Yeah, but they haven't inherited any angelic attributes, you know. I mean, if you threw Chris Evans out of a top floor window, you know, he wouldn't fly. I mean, he'd just plummet down onto the pavement. You know. Hang on. Just enjoying that mental picture.
But...
Wait. Just savouring it. Okay, proceed.
But if some of mankind is descended from supernatural heavenly creatures, then this is a fantastically important story, and I should include it in the book.
No, you should not include it in the book for the very good reason that it's not about me.
What?
The book you're supposed to be writing, in case you've forgotten, is not the story of man. I mean, a man's just an ape with social pretensions. No, it's supposed to be the official biography of me, Satan, supreme ruler of the underworld. I mean, so far you've barely interviewed me. What's going on?
Well, I'm just not used to interviewing my subjects face-to-face, that's all. Usually, they've been dead for hundreds of years. Well, thousands in the case of Alexander.
Alexander?
Alexander the Great.
He's not that great. No, he's more like Alexander the Disappointment.
You mean he's down here? Oh, I'd be thrilled to meet him.
Trust me, you wouldn't. You know, it's like being trapped with a Macedonian version of John Major. Endless anecdotes about how the Gordian knot was actually a clove hitch.
No, you're selling him short. Alexander was a force of nature, a superb warrior who defeated the Persians.
The Persians were crap, all right? They were out of form and were carrying a lot of injuries. I mean, I'm telling you, they were so poor at Thermopylae that Tim Henman could have beaten them.
No, you're mistaken. I've been writing a book about Alexander and it was all ready to go to the publishers when I... Are you seriously suggesting that all that work is unsound? No, it's nonsense.
Fine, I'll take you to meet him. You can see for yourself.
No, it can wait. No, the priority is to crack on with your biography, so...
You're scared.
Scared? Scared of what?
Of being wrong. Of all those years of work, being wrong. Just like you're scared of being wrong about Rosemary.
Oh, no, I'm definitely not wrong there. Rosemary's no murderer.
What can I do to convince you?
Nothing you could possibly do could ever convince me.
Oh, dear Edith, that sounds suspiciously like a challenge.
This is hopeless, Scumspawn. It's too late for me to change my ways now.
It's never too late. Come on, Thomas. Just because you're dead, there's no reason to throw in the towel. You've already done one good thing. Now you can continue your moral progress by coming to terms with your past.
What are you talking about?
Contrition.
Bless you.
Contrition, where you acknowledge your shame at all your misdeeds.
Shame?
And express remorse for all the bad things you've done. Well, not all of them, obviously. That's just not practical. There's probably a number that's close to infinity. But maybe if we identified one single bad thing for which you could express sincere remorse as a sort of symbolic act. I forgot it. You were once married to Edith's daughter, weren't you?
Sarah, yes.
And you mistreated her horribly.
Define horribly.
Well, according to her mother.
Ah, the woman's biased.
So you didn't have sex with the au pair one time?
No, I didn't have sex with the au pair one time. I did it lots of times. I'm not an idiot.
And according to Edith, you once forced Sarah to get rid of a baby.
Well, I just didn't feel ready to have a child, so... I didn't make her have an abortion, if that's what you're thinking.
Oh, right.
No, I sold the baby to a rag and bone man.
You sold the baby to a rag and bone man?
Yeah, well, they didn't have eBay in those days.
But if it was now, you wouldn't do that again, would you?
Of course not. No. You don't get rag and bone men anymore these days.
No. What I meant was, this Thomas, our new Thomas, would accept that selling a baby to a man on a cart is wrong.
Oh, what is this, the moral maze?
Look, now's the time for you to acknowledge your guilt.
Yeah, but how? Sarah's still alive, the jammy cow. She's not down here, is she?
No, but her mother is.
You expect me to express remorse to Edith? She's an enemy. She was on my list.
How many people were on your list?
Quite a few. In fact, in the end, it got quicker just to write down people who weren't on the list. But I can't express remorse to Edith. That's just too much. It's just unreasonable.
But do you want to stay as this odious git for all eternity? Or would you rather be someone who is at peace with himself? Someone who can look into this abyss and not see faces with huge teeth?
And you think that might start to happen if I express my remorse to Edith for the way I treated her daughter?
Yes. Yes, I do.
All right. I'll try.
Good man.
But if she's rude, I can punch her, right?
No!
What exactly are you doing?
Oh, these are my warm-up exercises, yeah. It's always important to warm up, otherwise you can pull a muscle.
Pull a muscle doing what?
Adopting a guise, of course. Yep, it's my favourite part of the job. Satanic guises. I can turn myself into absolutely anyone. Watch this.
Heather Mills.
That's right. That's right. An exact facsimile of Heather Mills right down to the last knot hole. Look.
Apart from the voice.
Hey, well, oh, yeah. Well, I used to be able to do her voice. Well, anyone's voice. But it was all getting a bit of a strain on the old vocal cords, say, after a while, you know. So these days I don't bother doing the voice. No, I just explain it away. People are very shallow. They judge by appearances. Do you know, I've even impersonated David Cameron using this voice. No one queried it. No, they just thought he was trying to sound more working class. Okay, here's another one.
It's Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah. I can't stay in this, guys, for too long, though, because it starts to hurt. Same as my David Guest, guys, yeah. Sometimes I black out when I'm doing that one. All right, here comes another one. I haven't used this one yet. Look, you see, the top half is Kate Moss, and the bottom half is a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Wouldn't that just cause lots of panic?
Well, it'll certainly give Pete Doherty a fright, I tell you. Might even get him off drugs, I'd say. Right, here, look, a naked John Prescott.
Oh, my God.
I've had some fun with this one at party conferences. Yeah. Well, not just me, lots of people, actually, mate. Mostly they use me as a bouncy castle.
Stop. Please, it's horrible. Take it away.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. There, you can uncover your face now, Edith. I'm sorry, I forgot how shocking the naked Prescott is. Looks like a sumo wrestler who needs ironing, doesn't it? Where was I? Oh, yeah, now. This next guy is a new one. It's for a special mission that I'm about to undertake.
What kind of mission?
Yeah, you'll find out soon enough.
You see, Thomas, once you've admitted your guilt to Edith about the way you treated her daughter, I think you'll start to feel much better about yourself. Who knows, other people might even start to like you.
Like me?
Yes.
Seriously?
It's perfectly possible.
What? People liking me?
Yes, I mean, I'm not saying it'll happen overnight, but we do have all eternity, so we're in with a shout.
So what I have to do is basically say sorry to Edith for all that naughty stuff.
Yes, but you have to mean it.
Jeez, that as well. You want the moon, Scumspot.
Thomas.
It's such a big ask.
You can do it.
Maybe my behaviour did leave a little to be desired.
That's my boy. Now, all you have to do is to tell Edith that...
Oh, she'll just be rude to me. You know what she's like? She's got a tongue like a taser.
Well, just try.
All right. Deep breaths. Open the door. Edith, there's something I'd like...
Quiet, turd face. I'm trying to tune this to Radio 4.
That's very nice.
Why Radio 4?
Satan said there'd be a programme that'd be of great interest to me.
Good morning and welcome to Start the Week.
Uh-huh.
My name is Andrew Marr and I have a cold.
With me in the studio, I have Lord Archer, the body language expert Martin Pilgrim, and the eminent historian Rosemary Maybank. Now, if I could start with you, Lord Archer. Now, you have a new book coming out, am I right?
Yes, it's about this...
Okay, we don't need to know any more than that. Turning to you, Martin Pilgrim...
Don't you want to know what my new book is about?
Don't be silly. Now then, Martin Pilgrim, you have a new series starting tonight on BBC Three, all about body language. Explain body language to us.
Well, body language is made up of lots of little tells where we unconsciously give away our innermost thoughts. For instance, Lord Archer is sitting with his arms folded and is leaning back in his chair. Now, this suggests that maybe he's feeling defensive, and that might be because he's perhaps got something to hide.
He's Lord Archer.
Must.
Sit down and shut up, I agree. Now, Rosemary, it's an interesting idea, isn't it, that someone can betray feelings of guilt without realising it?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Martin, give us a few more examples.
Well, for instance, if someone leans back away from you...
What is Satan playing at?
Edith, Thomas has something he'd like to say to you.
I don't want to hear it. I'm trying to listen to this.
It concerns my marriage to your daughter.
Oh, what a mistake that was. I told her. Sarah, I said, you'd be better off marrying a septic tank.
Yes, well, I...
Oh, be quiet, man.
And, of course, if someone has their legs crossed, that's also an indication that they're...
If I can just stop you there, Martin, because you're being rather boring, and turn instead to Rosemary.
Can I talk about my new book?
No. Now, Rosemary...
But the researcher said I would be able to.
Yeah, that was a lie.
Well, why would he lie to me?
I don't know, to make you feel at home, I suppose. Has anyone ever told you you look like a very smug dolphin, by the way?
I'm not here to be the butt of cheap ridicule.
Yes, you are. That's your gift to mankind. Now then, Rosemary, I believe you've published a new book.
That's right, Andrew. It's a biography of that extraordinary warrior, Alexander the Great. What?
Nothing.
It's a biography that I hope provides a definitive account of Alexander's life.
Now, of course, you were a close friend of the historian Edith Barrington, who tragically took her own life.
Yes, she was my best friend. I was devastated.
Of course. She was a fantastic historian, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. First-class historian.
She certainly was. Her books won dozens of awards, didn't they?
She did pick up a few awards, yes.
Shed loads of them. Shelves groaning with awards, I heard. Have any of your books ever won an award?
No.
No? Oh, but you must have been nominated loads of times, eh?
Well, there have been a few nominations, yeah, over the years.
But always pipped at the post, eh?
Yes.
By your best friend, Edith.
Well, I've never really placed much store by awards, to be honest. I mean, I've always felt that the work of itself is...
I see what he's up to. Well, I'm not playing that game. Thomas, switch the radio off.
No, Thomas, leave it on. Satan wants us to hear this.
Oh, what? And we have to do something just because Satan says so?
You really haven't got the hang of this place yet. There you
are. Rosemary, if we could just go back to Alexander the Great, in inverted commas. He's an interesting subject, isn't he? In fact, Edith Barrington was working on a biography of him.
Is that right?
Of course, sadly, it won't be completed now that you've killed her.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You drugged her, then you pumped her full of barbiturates and forged the notes and try and make it look like suicide. And you would have got away with it if it hadn't been for the detective skills of me, the supreme Andrew Marr.
Well,
what do you make of that body language, Martin? Look at her, the pale face, the shaking hands, the sweating, the telltale...
All right, I did it!
...cry of I did it.
Yes, I killed her. Because for years and years I put up with her condescension every time she won. All that fake humility. Do you know what she used to do with the awards she won? She put them away in a cardboard box in the loft. How ostentatious is that? The woman was rubbing my nose in it. There was no way I was going to come second to her again.
She thought you were her friend.
Well, she obviously wasn't as bright as he thought she was she?
Well, I hope you're listening to all this, Edith.
Edith? He's talking to a dead woman. The man's gone mad.
Shut it, dolphin features.
It was never like this with Melvin Bragg.
Shut it.
I have no intent.
I mean it. Be careful, Archer. Or your next word could decide your fate.
Well!
Okay.
You've just thrown Lord Archer down a well.
Yeah, well, you know, anything to push up ratings, you know the BBC. But did you notice his body language, though? Flailing arms and legs are a sign of anxiety, aren't they?
A well just appeared from nowhere. This is the devil's work.
No comment.
Let me out. For God's sake, let me out of here!
Well, we seem to have lost two of our guests at short notice there, listeners, but with me, I still have the historian and murderess, Rosemary Maybank.
I'm stunned. Just totally stunned.
Listen, Edith, I'm sorry you had to find out in such a brutal way.
It sounded to me like you were getting some kind of sadistic pleasure out of it.
Well, yeah, there was that, but... See, you left me with no choice, Edith. You'd gone into complete denial. I knew that only a public confession would do.
Will she be tried now?
I don't know. I mean, yes, she did admit her guilt live on Radio 4, but my worry is that the DPP will focus on prosecuting Andrew Marr for throwing Lord Archer down a well. I mean, he'd probably get off with just a fine, but...
Sire, with permission, Thomas has something you'd like to say to Edith.
Yeah, I don't want him saying anything that might upset her even more. I mean, Thomas does tend to upset people because of his existence.
Please, sire, Thomas is changing. Give him a chance.
Go on then, but I'm watching.
Edith, I just want to say, sorry.
Oh, great. That's all I need. Sarcasm from you.
No, I mean it. I'm saying sorry for my marriage to your daughter was a disaster. She knew nothing but pain and misery, and I realise now that I have to accept the blame for at least 2% of it.
Thomas!
All right, maybe 3%, maybe.
Oh, sorry, Scumspawn, you were saying about how Thomas is changing.
Well, be fair, my prince. He's moved from 0% acceptance of responsibility to maybe 3%. That's a 3% shift.
Oh, stop it. You're blinding me with your statistics.
Seriously, my lord, I can see the beginnings of a change in him.
Scumspawn, I've been exceptionally tolerant of this ridiculous experiment of yours, but my patience is wearing very thin. Size zero thin, in fact. I mean, what the hell are you trying to prove?
Well, I suppose I'm trying to show that life is always capable of surprising you. If Thomas, the most repulsive human who's ever been admitted to hell, can change, then maybe anyone or anything can change. Maybe...
Maybe what?
Maybe our circumstances can change. Maybe one day we'll stop being these hideous, deformed creatures of darkness and return to being angels. That's something to hope for, isn't it?
No, we can't hope, Scumspawn.
Why not?
Because the hoping just makes everything worse. We'll be better off accepting that we will never be angels again. God's blacklisted us, and you know what he's like? He doesn't go back on his decisions. It's a form of insecurity. We will never be angels again. It's...
Oh, my God.
What?
It's only just dawned on me. Thomas is ginger.
Actually, I'm strawberry blonde. What's she mean?
Oh, it's nothing. It's just...
No, she meant something. It was one of her snide remarks, wasn't it?
No, it's just... If you're ginger, it means you're distantly descended from angels, that's all.
Yeah, I'm descended from angels.
What, delinquent, sex-mad angels?
Even better! Oh, yes! Deep down, I always knew I was special.
Oh, I wish you hadn't told him that, Sire.
You can see the angel in me, if you look closely.
Only a tiny, tiny percentage of you is angel. The rest is pure weasel.
You're just jealous, wrinkled chops. Jealous. That I'm part angel while you look like a gargoyle in a cardigan.
Is that the best you can manage?
I'm glad you were murdered. I should have done it years ago. In fact, I would have done if that hitman had been competent.
Oh, now all the poison's coming.
Oh, shut up, you old bag. You've always been the same.
See, Scumspawn, Thomas hasn't changed. Nothing changes. But the only thing we can do in this grim, benighted world is stay cheerful and just make the best of what little light relief life has to offer us. Allow me to illustrate.
Oh, what's happening? Why am I suddenly naked? Why is my body covered with numbers?
Game of darts, anyone?
Old Harry's Game featured Andy Hamilton as Satan, Jimmy Melville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, and Annette Crosby as Edith, with Philip Pope, Felicity Montague, and Nick Revel. The programme was written by Andy Hamilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.